Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a jungle warfare style res patch in Ableton Live 12, and then tightening it up so it hits with that VHS rave, grimy, old tape energy without turning into low end soup. The big idea here is simple. In jungle and drum and bass, heavy is not the same as huge. A bass can be massive and still be messy. What we want is something that feels centered, disciplined, and readable against breakbeats. That's the difference between a bass line that fights the drums and one that locks into them like machinery. So let's build this from the ground up using Ableton stock devices only. First, create a new MIDI track and load Waveeatable. We want a simple source, not a fancy preset. Start with oscillator A on a saw wave and oscillator B on a saw wave as well. Detune oscillator B just a little, somewhere around plus 7 to plus 12 cents. Keep unison low, ideally two voices, maybe four at most if you really need extra width. But don't go wide yet, we're building the core first. Now shape the body with a low pass filter. A 24 dB low pass is a good start, and you can keep the cutoff somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on how dark you want the initial tone. The point is to keep the source plain and controllable. A strong res is usually just a simple detuned foundation that gets sculpted with restraint. If you want a darker jungle flavor, you can add a tiny amount of Waveeatable position movement or subtle FM, but keep it very light. You want the sound to feel alive, not like a lead synth showing off. Next, go into the amp envelope and tighten it up. This part matters a lot. In drum and bass, bass notes that hang too long will smear into the breakbeat and blur the groove. Set the attack very short, basically 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay can sit around 150 to 350 milliseconds. Sustain somewhere around 30 to 60% is a good starting point, and release should be fairly short too, maybe 40 to 120 milliseconds. If you want a more roller style, legato feel, you can let the release breathe a little. But if your break is busy, shorten it. A tight envelope makes the bass feel intentional and rhythmic. Now we split the low end from the movement layer. This is one of the most important moves in the whole lesson. The easiest way is to use an audio effect rack or separate tracks. Make one sub layer and one mid-res layer. For the sub, use operator with a sine wave or a clean Waveeatable sine if you prefer. Keep it mono. Keep it simple, and keep it short. If needed, use utility and set the width to 0%. This sub should be solid and stable, like a foundation stone. Then your Waveeatable res becomes the mid layer. High pass that layer around 80 to 120 Hz so it's not competing with the sub. This is where the attitude lives. The mid layer can be wide, gritty, and animated, but the sub has to stay disciplined. Now let's tighten the stereo image and control phase. Res patches can get huge very quickly, but in DNB you don't just want width for the sake of width. You want translation. You want the bass to work in mono, on club systems, and alongside a dense break. On the mid layer, add utility and pull the width down if the patch feels too broad. Something like 70 to 90% is often enough. Then use a EQ8 to gently high pass around 90 to 130 Hz. Keep an eye on the low end with spectrum if you want to see what's happening. If the patch disappears in mono, that's a sign the stereo spread is too extreme or the detune is too much. Reduce the unison voices or simplify the modulation until the core of the sound stays center. Now it's time for the VHS rave color. This is where we give the bass that worn, haunted, warehouse on a tape deck kind of character. A good stock chain here is saturator, auto filter, and maybe overdrive or pedal if you want extra bite. Start with saturator and add around 2 to 6 dB of drive. Turn soft clip on. That gives you density without instantly wrecking the tone. After that, use auto filter to shape the tone. A low pass or band pass filter works well if you want movement. You can automate it later instead of relying on LFO right away. The goal is not just distortion. The goal is imperfect tone shaping. Roll off some of the top end so it feels a little aged. Then bring back just enough harmonic edge with saturation so it still cuts through the mix. If the sound starts to feel too modern and clinical, this is where you age it. If it starts getting dull, back off the filtering and let more harmonics come through. A useful trick here is to gently reduce the very top, maybe above 8 to 10 kHz, and let the sound live more in the mid-range. That helps it feel more period correct and more VHS rave without becoming muffled. At this point, I want to talk about one of the biggest secrets in jungle production: resampling. Freeze and flatten the bass, or route it to a new audio track and record a few bars of movement. Print a 4-bar phrase with notes, filter changes, and a little motion. Once it's audio, you can treat it like a chopped sample instead of a static synth line. You can cut tiny pieces, reverse little fragments, tighten the tail, and make it behave more like part of the breakbeat language. This is huge in DNB because it turns bass into a rhythmic object. You're not just designing a synth anymore, you're editing energy. Now let's write the bass line around the break, not on top of it. That's the part people often get wrong. In a jungle or roller context, your bass phrase should leave space for the kick, snare, ghost notes, and chopped percussion. A good starting point is a 2-bar or 4-bar phrase with only a few notes total. For example, a root note on beat 1, then a short response hit after the snare, then a small pickup note into the next bar. You can repeat that idea with a little variation. Try thinking in call and response. Let the bass hit, then let the break answer, or let the snare and ghost notes speak, then have the reese answer them. That back and forth is what makes jungle feel alive. Also, pay attention to note timing. Tightness starts before processing. If your MIDI notes are even slightly late against the break, the bass will feel lazy no matter how good the sound design is. Try nudging the bass a few milliseconds earlier until it leans into the drum hit instead of sitting behind it. Velocity is useful too, but use it for illusion, not just loudness. In a reese patch, velocity can control filter cutoff, wave eatable position, or saturation drive. That gives you movement and expression without making the pattern feel uneven in volume. Now let's shape the groove with clip timing and automation. In the MIDI clip, keep note lengths consistent unless you deliberately want stabs or gaps. You can also shift some offbeat slightly for a different feel. A little early can add urgency. A little late can relax the groove into more of a roller feel. Just be intentional. Use automation to make phrase endings feel alive. Open the filter a bit into a fill. Increase saturation on the last hit of a phrase. Narrow the width before a drop impact, then let it open back up after. Small moves like that make a huge difference. One especially strong move is a low pass sweep in the last one or two beats before the drop or switch up. Then let the bass hit full range on the next bar. That contrast gives the drop more violence without needing extra notes. Now glue the bass to the drums without crushing the transient detail. Send your breaks to a drum bus and your bass to a bass bus. On the drum bus, you can use glue compressor lightly, just a dB or two of gain reduction if needed. You want to preserve the transient punch, not flatten it. Drum bus can also add a little snap and body, if you keep it subtle. On the bass bus, use EQ8 to clean up overlap with the kick. If the bass needs a little consistency, add gentle compression, but don't overdo it. The sub should remain stable, the kick should keep its attack, and the reese should live in the upper bass and low mid aggression zone. That relationship is everything. The kick owns the transient impact, the sub owns the foundation. The reese owns the attitude. Now let's finish with arrangement thinking, because this sound really comes alive in context. For an intro, you can filter the reese down and let it sit underneath atmospheric breaks. In the build, use low pass stabs or ghost hits. When the drop lands, bring in the full sub and reese combination. Then, after a few bars, try a switch up where you remove the sub for a moment and let just the mids and drums carry the tension. When the sub returns, it'll feel massive. You can also add small transitional details with Ableton tools. Reverse a tiny bass chop before the drop. Add a subtle delay on one transition hit. Use a short white noise riser if you need it. But in a jungle context, texture often works better than generic risers. Short reverse bass fragments and chopped reese tails can feel much more natural. Here are a few common problems to listen for. If the bass is too wide on the low end, keep the sub mono and reduce the unison voices. If the notes are washing over the break, shorten the release and tighten the MIDI lengths. If distortion gets harsh instead of heavy, lower the drive and use EQ after saturation. If the bass disappears in mono, simplify the stereo motion. And if it sounds modern but not jungle warfare enough, try resampling, a little top-end roll-off, and more controlled filter movement. A couple of pro moves worth remembering. You can create a parallel distortion lane by duplicating the mid layer, distorting one copy harder, high-passing it, and blending it underneath the clean core. You can also automate a narrow band pass right before impact, then open it up on the drop. That kind of contrast feels huge. And if the track starts feeling too clean, don't just add more synths. Often a simple saturator into EQ8 into compressor on the bass bus is enough to give it that roughened, old-school pressure. So here's your takeaway. Build the reese from a simple detuned source. Keep the sub mono and stable. Tighten the envelope so the bass doesn't smear. Use saturation and filtering for VHS rave grime. Resample for control and character. And always arrange the bass around the drums, not over them. If the sound is tight, centered, and rhythmically aware, it will hit harder in a DNB drop than a bigger but sloppier patch ever could. Now your challenge is to make a four-bar loop using just a few notes, resample it, cut in one tiny, reverse chop, and check it with a chopped breakbeat in mono. If it still feels strong with very few notes, you're on the right path. All right, let's get that Jungle Warfare bass locked in.